Welcome to the Naracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2026.
And I'm your co-host. We've got a fantastic show lined up for you today, diving into some of the most significant shifts happening in the AI and hardware spaces right now.
We're starting with a massive move from Alibaba. They've just unveiled a 2.4 trillion parameter multimodal model that they claim is going toe-to-toe with Anthropic's flagship, Fable 5. And the kicker? They're planning to release the open weights.
It's a huge story that could reshape the global landscape for frontier models. We're also following up on a story we covered last week regarding that highly controversial AI-driven rewrite of the bun runtime from Zig to Rust.
Right. Last time we talked about the philosophical debate it sparked among language creators. Today, we have the hard reality. A new report reveals Anthropic has already silently shipped that exact AI-generated codebase into production for millions of users inside Claude Code.
It's a wild deployment strategy that raises a lot of questions. Later in the show, we'll hit the roundup with a look at a new unified C++ library that's simplifying cross-platform speech-to-text, and a refreshingly optimistic postmortem from a solo developer who successfully manufactured and shipped thousands of hardware devices.
Let's get right into it. Let's kick things off with Alibaba. On July 19th, they officially pulled the curtain back on QN 3.8. The headline number here is staggering. It's a multimodal AI model boasting 2.4 trillion parameter models.
To put that 2.4 trillion number into context, that is squarely in the ultra-heavyweight class of frontier models, and Alibaba is not being shy about their internal benchmarks. Their official statement claims that QN 3.8's performance is, quote, second only to Fable 5. Fable 5, of course, being Anthropic's current state-of-the-art model that has been dominating the leaderboards for the past few months.
It's an incredibly bold claim to make right out of the gate. If you want to test it yourself, a preview version, dubbed QN 3.8-Max-Preview, is currently available. You can access it through Alibaba's token plan, as well as their Coder and Coder Work platforms. But the aspect of this story that is really sending shockwaves through the industry isn't just the parameter count or the benchmark claims. It's their distribution strategy. Alibaba has strongly indicated that they will be releasing QN 3.8 with open weights.
And that is the detail that changes everything. Releasing a 2.4 trillion parameter model with open weights is an absolutely massive flex, both technically and financially. It continues this very aggressive, very deliberate trend we've been tracking from Chinese AI developers. We saw similar moves with earlier iterations of QN and models from DeepSeek. They are systematically trying to undercut Western AI labs by offering near equivalent, or at least highly competitive performance, completely for free, allowing developers to run, modify, and host the models on their own infrastructure.
Strategically, it makes perfect sense when you look at the geopolitical context. Chinese tech firms are facing increasingly strict export controls on advanced semiconductors, and they are largely restricted from directly accessing top-tier US-based AI APIs, like those from OpenAI and Anthropic. By building their own frontier-class models and open-sourcing the weights, they can capture developer mindshare on a global scale. They make their ecosystem the default starting point for researchers and startups who want absolute control over their data and model architecture.
But we have to talk about the sheer economics of this strategy. Training a 2.4 trillion parameter model from scratch requires an astronomical amount of compute. We're talking about tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, just in GPU time, not to mention the massive data engineering pipelines and the human capital required to align a model of that size. Then there's the ongoing cost of maintaining it and providing the infrastructure for these preview versions. How does a company like Alibaba justify giving away the crown jewels, the weights themselves, after making that kind of investment?
I think it comes down to a classic platform strategy, similar to what Google did with Android in the mobile operating system wars. Alibaba recognizes that the real money isn't necessarily in charging a fraction of a cent per token for API access. They want to be the infrastructure layer for the next decade of enterprise tech. By open sourcing the model, they effectively commoditize the model layer itself. If every major enterprise, every ambitious startup, and every academic lab is building their AI workflows on top of QN 3.8 rather than a proprietary Western model, Alibaba is perfectly positioned to monetize the surrounding ecosystem. They can sell the enterprise deployment tools, the massive cloud hosting required to run a 2.4 trillion parameter model, and the specialized fine-tuning services.
It's the commoditize your complement strategy executed at the highest possible level. But let's circle back to that performance claim for a moment. The idea that it's second only to Fable 5. We have to remember that just a few days ago, we covered Moonshot AI's release of Kimi K3, which boasts a 2.8 trillion parameter count and a massive 1 million token context window. The space is getting incredibly crowded at the top. Is Alibaba's claim here based on verifiable, standardized benchmark results across a wide range of tasks? Or is it primarily a marketing strategy to ensure they stay in the conversation alongside Kimi K3 and Fable 5?
Honestly, until we see rigorous third-party evaluations, it's very hard to take these self-reported rankings at face value. Historically, when a company claims they are second only to a competitor, it often means they've heavily optimized for or cherry-picked the specific benchmarks where their architecture excels, while quietly ignoring the areas where it falls short. However, even if we assume some marketing inflation, and even if QN 3.8 is just in the general ballpark of Fable 5 or Kimi K3, the fact that the weights will be open is a profound game-changer. For a huge segment of the market, researchers, local-first startups, and enterprises with strict data privacy requirements, an open model that is 90% as good as the best closed model is infinitely more valuable than an API they aren't allowed to use.
I completely agree. And this dynamic puts immense pressure on Western companies. If a 2.4 trillion parameter multimodal model is sitting on Hugging Face for free, how much longer can proprietary labs charge a premium for closed models that only offer a marginal, constantly shrinking performance bump? The moat is evaporating.
Exactly. The next few weeks will be critical. We'll be watching closely for the actual drop of the weights, and it will be fascinating to see how the open source community manages the sheer hardware requirements necessary to run a model of this magnitude locally.
All right, let's pivot to our second story, which is a wild follow-up to a topic we covered just last week. For those who might have missed it, we discussed the intense debate surrounding the Bun runtime. To give a quick recap, Jared Sumner, the creator of Bun, utilized a pre-release version of Claude Fable 5 and around 50 dynamic Claude code workflows to completely rewrite over 535,000 lines of Zig code into Rust.
Right, and the jaw-dropping part was that he accomplished this massive migration in just 11 days, between May 3rd and May 14th. But as we discussed, it sparked a massive controversy in the development community. Andrew Kelly, the creator of Zig, publicly criticized the effort, famously calling the resulting codebase unreviewed slop. He pointed out that the AI generated thousands of unsafe Rust blocks, arguing that the project prioritized raw speed over fundamental engineering values like careful review, safety, and discipline.
Well, the story just took a fascinating and frankly unexpected turn. Simon Willison has just published a new piece titled Claude Code Uses Bun Written in Rust Now. And the core revelation here is that Anthropic didn't just sponsor this rewrite as a theoretical exercise or a neat marketing stunt for their models. They actually shipped the code.
And they did it silently. There was no big announcement, no beta testing period flagged to the community.
Exactly. According to Willison's thorough binary inspection, Claude Code version 2.1.181, which, by the way, was released over a month ago on June 17th, silently switched over to this new Rust-based Bun runtime. Willison verified that the executable is running an unreleased version of Bun, version 1.4.0, which contains 563 Rust source file references baked right into the binary.
This is wild on so many different levels. First off, we have to remember that Anthropic acquired Bun back in December 2025. So we knew they were heavily invested in the ecosystem and were likely integrating it into their tooling. But deploying a 500,000 line AI-generated 11-day rewrite of a core runtime into a flagship developer tool that is used by millions of people without a formal announcement? That is the absolute definition of a boring deployment for something that, traditionally speaking, should be terrifying.
It really does challenge every piece of traditional software engineering wisdom we've accumulated over the last few decades. For years, the golden rule has been never do a complete rewrite from scratch. Rewrites take too long, they introduce a massive surface area for new bugs, they stall your feature development for months or years, and they often fail entirely. But here, Sumner did it in less than 2 weeks. The project involved 6,502 commits, running a peak of 64 concurrent Claude agents, and incurred an estimated $165,000 in API compute costs.
And now it is running in production, which brings us right back to Andrew Kelly's critique about unreviewed slop. We have to ask the pragmatic question: if the code compiles, if it passes the test suites, and if it has been running stably in production for millions of users for a month without catastrophic failure, does it actually matter if the code isn't beautifully handcrafted? Does it matter if there are thousands of unsafe rust blocks, as long as the application behaves correctly and delivers the performance gains?
That is the million-dollar question for the entire industry right now. This deployment might be the first undeniable at-scale proof that legacy code bases are becoming fundamentally fungible. If you have enough compute budget and a sophisticated enough AI orchestrator, you can essentially just translate your entire tech stack to a new language over a long weekend. It turns code from a carefully tended garden into a disposable, easily replaceable asset.
But I think we need to be careful about extrapolating too much from this single success story. We can't forget the human element here. Jared Sumner is a uniquely motivated, highly skilled maintainer who knows the Bun codebase intimately. He was the one orchestrating the verification gates, defining the test parameters, and validating the AI's output at every step. I am highly skeptical that your average enterprise development team working on a sprawling legacy banking application could pull off a 500,000-line rewrite in 11 days without it ending in absolute disaster.
That's a very fair point. The human in the loop is still the critical bottleneck, and the quality of the tests dictates the quality of the AI's output. But regardless of how replicable this is, the fact that Anthropic silently shipped this raises profound questions about transparency and security. When a company is running unreleased, heavily AI-generated code in a production tool that has access to developers' local environments, how do you handle security audits? How do you quickly patch zero-day vulnerabilities in a codebase that no single human fully understands, simply because an agent wrote it at lightning speed?
It's a security researcher's absolute worst nightmare. You're essentially trusting the AI's structural decisions blindly. But clearly Anthropic felt confident enough in their internal testing and sandboxing to push it live. Ultimately, it's an incredible flex for their own models. They used Claude to rewrite the fundamental runtime that powers Claude code itself. It's a closed loop of agentic engineering.
It really is a fascinating glimpse into the future of software development, where the compiler and the AI agent are basically indistinguishable. All right, we've got a couple more interesting items to cover today. Let's hit the roundup and look at some other stories making waves.
Sounds good. Let's run through them.
First up in the roundup, we have a significant new release in the local AI space. Transcribe.cpp just hit its version 0.1.0 milestone on July 19th. It's a dedicated C and C++ speech-to-text inference library built entirely on the GGML runtime by CJ Pies, who maintains the handy desktop app.
This is a really elegant solution to a fragmented ecosystem. It supports over 16 automatic speech recognition model families and 60-plus models, providing robust GPU acceleration across Metal, Vulkan, CUDA, and TinyBlass.
Exactly. It eliminates the headache of juggling multiple backends like ONNX and Whisper.cpp for cross-platform apps, making it much easier to embed privacy-focused voice inference directly into local software.
For our final story today, we have a refreshingly optimistic blog post from developer Chip Weinberger titled, "What I Learned Selling 2,500 MIDI Recorders. Hardware is Not So Hard." He documents designing, manufacturing, and successfully selling 2,500 units of a niche physical MIDI device called the Jamcorder.
The most valuable part is how he demystifies the regulatory hurdles. By intentionally designing the device to use pre-certified radios, he kept his FCC Part 15 Subpart B testing costs down to just $3,000 to $5,000.
He also tackled supply chain security by incorporating an ST safe chip as a digital holographic barcode to prevent counterfeiting. It's a great counter-narrative, proving that if you constrain your scope and use off-the-shelf certified components, bringing a physical product to market is more accessible than ever.
It's always great to see a solo developer succeed in the hardware space, and his transparency about the costs and processes is incredibly valuable for the community. And that is going to wrap up all the time we have for today's briefing.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to check the show notes for links to all the open source projects, model weights, and articles we discussed today. We will be right back here tomorrow with more news and analysis from the bleeding edge of tech.
Until then, keep building and stay curious.